and we're going to continue on in this. We will obviously be having a Christmas message for Christmas Eve and Christmas morning. The Lord led and directed us to Joshua chapter number 9. And at the end, we're going to tie it in a little bit if he allows and directs that way. In Joshua chapter number 9, we're to give you a little background what's going on. Joshua is the leader after Moses has passed on the scene. And in chapter number 1, they said to be courageous. He told Joshua to be strong and to courageous. Be courageous, to be obedient. Chapter 1 also is an interesting verse. I think it's kind of like, for me, it's the theme verse inside this book, at least for this study. It's talking about how God told them that they had to go in and possess the land. It was something that they actually possessed. God had already given it to them. All they had to do is be obedient and walk by faith, and God would give them the land as they were being faithful to him. And that's important to understand. God gives us victories. We can have a victorious Christian life. And this, yes, there is conquest. Yes, there is conflict in the book. But as you leave it up to God and you live the victorious Christian life, God can give you the victory. And that's the thought here for the whole entire book, is that you see, as Israel is faithful, God gives them the land. And most of you know some of the stories. We talked about how they were able to go through Jordan. We talked about how they went to Jericho's and the walls of Jericho's fell down. And then we looked at the sins that helped them lose the Ai. We talked about Achan and the hidden sin, all those different things. Now, they come up against a new enemy here. They come up an enemy that's not coming after them with swords, not coming after them with spears, not coming after them with great big giant walls. They come up with an enemy that's trying to deceive them, an enemy that's trying to be deceptive. The title of tonight's message is Be on Guard. The enemy can be tricky. Be on guard. The enemy can be tricky. And in our Christian lives, it's really important to understand that it's a spiritual battle that we're in, and the devil is very deceptive. The devil can be very disruptive. The devil can be very destructive, but also the devil can be defeated. So when we look at this story tonight, and we look at these Gibeonites, how they've come and they tricked Joshua into believing that they are from a far, far distant land, and they make this league, they make this agreement that they were not going to kill them, and then they later on they find out, you know, they're only a few days away. And Joshua does not consult the Lord. The princes do not consult the Lord. And they lose this battle, in a sense, because of the fact that they fell to the deceptive ways of the enemy. And we're just going to look at this story for a little while tonight. We're going to focus mostly on how the devil can be deceptive and how he can really get into our lives and he can disrupt our lives as Christians. And if this idea is us as Christians living a victorious Christian life and receiving the promises of God, living in the promises of God, living the victorious Christian life, possessing the Christian life. Canaan land, I don't think represents heaven, as some people sing about. I think Canaan land represents the Christian life and the victorious Christian life. And as we mentioned before, they were promised a lot of land, but they only conquered 10% of the land. And they lived in that 10%. But inside that 10%, there was a bunch of trouble. And this is one of the problems we see here. God had told them to get rid of all the different people that were there, just to turn around and get rid of them, and they didn't. And one of the reasons we see here. Now, we can contend with the devil, but we must be willing to know his ways and his tactics. And tonight, I think we can learn some things from his ways and tactics like we normally do. We're going to read through the majority of the chapter, give a little bit of commentary, and then we're going to hit right into the message, Be on Guard. The enemy is tricky. Let's look here in verse number 1. It came to pass when all the kings were on this side of Jordan, in the hills and the valleys, in the coast of the great sea against Lebanon, the Hittite and the Amorite, the Canaanite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite heard thereof. So they heard what happened at Jordan. God opened up the waters during the season where the waters were overflowing. It was a miracle. They heard about it. They heard about what happened in Jericho, how God just tore the walls down. And so they're starting to become nervous. And then they hear about what happens at Ai, and that they gathered themselves together to fight with Joshua and with Israel with one accord. I think this is kind of interesting. You see in verses 1 and 2, there's a bunch of different little nations here that many times fight against one another. But they come together to fight against God's people. And this is a lesson here that many times people will join together to fight against righteousness and fight against those things that are right. You think about even when Jesus Christ was put to death, who agreed? The Pharisees, the Herodians, the Sadducees, they didn't like each other. But when it came to the point of putting Jesus Christ to death, They were willing to join forces. You think about how even Herod and Pilate didn't like each other, but underneath the death of Jesus Christ, they became friends again. So what's the point here? You get the world is against Christianity many times. You want to know why? It's because they all have the same God. They all have the same God. And many times they're going to attack and they're going to do what they can to join sometimes alliances to form a way to attack that which is good and that which is right. Verse number 3, and when the inhabitants of Gibeon heard that Joshua had done unto Jericho and Ai, they did work willily and went and made as if they had been ambassadors. So they went and they took a few out. They prepared them to look like ambassadors. And let's keep on reading the story. And took old sacks upon their asses and wine bottles, old and rent and bound up, and old shoes and clotted upon their feet, and old garments upon them, and all the bread of their provision was dry and moldy. So they went to make it look like they had been traveling a long time. So they acted like, and you're going to see here in the passages of Scripture, that everything was okay. That when they left, that they had fresh bread. When they left, they had new wine. When they left, they had new clothes, new shoes. But they had traveled such a long, far distance that when they got to them, everything was wrong, and everything had been well used up. Verse 6, and they went to Joshua and to the camp of Gilgal and said unto him and to the men of Israel, We become from a far country. Now therefore make a league with us. And the men of Israel said unto the Hivites, Preventure, ye dwell among us. How shall we make a league with you? So at the beginning in verse number 7, they're questioning it. They don't know whether or not it's really truthful. Sometimes in our Christian lives, we look at things and we're like, well, is that right? Is that true? Well, let's see what happens verse number 8. And they said unto Joshua, we are thy servants. And Joshua said unto them, who are ye, and from whence come ye? And they said unto him, from a very far country thy servants are come because of the name of the Lord thy God, for we have heard the fame of him and all that he did in Egypt, and all that he did to the two kings of the Amorites that were beyond Jordan, Sihon, king of Heshbon, and Og, king of Bashan, which was at Ashtaroth. Now, they don't mention Ai. They don't mention Jericho. Why is that? Because if they had heard about those, they knew that they didn't travel that far. So they talk about what happened way back in Egypt and with the Red Sea. They talk about what way happened many a long time before that. So they're being deceitful. They are lying. They are trying to use trickery to get their way. Verse number 11, wherefore our elders and all the inhabitants of our country spake to us, saying, take victuals with you for the journey, and go to meet them, and say unto them, we are your servants, therefore now make a league with us. This our bread we took hot for our provision out of our house on the day we came forth to go unto you, but now behold, it is dry and it is moldy. They said, look, we took this right out of the oven, and we've been going so long, it's hard and it's moldy, and it keeps on going. And these bottles of wine which we filled were new, and behold, now they be rent. And these our garments and our shoes are become old by reason of the very long journey. And the men took of their victuals. I mean, they looked at their wares, in a sense. They looked at their ways. They looked at what they were saying. But look what it says in verse number 14. And ask not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. This is the point, is God could have revealed this unto them. God could have showed them that they were being trickery. Guess like God could have showed them about the sin at Ai, but they weren't being on guard. They weren't taking heed. They weren't making sure that things were right and truthful. They were doing what they believed with their heart. They were living by sight. They weren't living by faith. Let's keep on going. Verse 15, Joshua made peace with them and made a league with them to let them live. And the princes of the congregation swear unto them. And it came to pass at the end of 3 days, after they had made a league with them, that they heard that they were their neighbors and that they dwelt among them. So we see that they were lying. They fell for a deceitful trick and a lie. And the children of Israel journeyed. And so they go and they came unto their cities on the third day. So they travel up 3 days and they see the cities. Now their cities were Gibeon and Sephra and Beeroth and Kirath Jearimah. And the children of Israel smote them not, because the princes of the congregation had sworn unto them by the Lord God of Israel. And all the congregation murmured against the princes. So they weren't happy. God had told them to get rid of all these people, to drive them out of the land. And if they were going to stay in the land, they were going to stay in their cities, they all had to be slain. But they're not going to listen. They're not going to be able to fulfill God's promises because they sweared unto them, and they did not want to go back on their promise. But all the princes said unto the congregation, they're murmuring, these people are supposed to be gone. We have sworn unto them by the Lord God of Israel. Now therefore we may not touch them. This we will do to them. We will even let them live, lest wrath be upon us because of the oath which we swear unto them. And the princes said unto them, let them live, but let them be hewers of wood and drawers of water unto all the congregation, as the princes had promised them. And Joshua called for them, and he spake unto them, saying, wherefore have ye beguiled us, saying, we are very far from you when ye dwell among us? Now therefore ye are cursed, and there shall none of you be freed from being bondsmen and hewers of wood and drawers of water from the house of my God, for the house of my God. And they answered Joshua and said, because it was certainly told to thy servants how that the Lord thy God commanded his servant Moses to give all the land and to destroy all the inhabitants of the land from before you. Therefore we were sore afraid of our lives because of you and have done this thing. They trusted in God's word and what God was planning for them more than the nation of Israel did in some ways. Verse number 25, and now behold, we are in thine hand. He says, okay, well, yes, we deceived you, but we are fearing for our lives. We are in your hand now. As it seemeth good and right unto thee, do unto us, do. And so he did unto them and delivered them out of the hand of the children of Israel, that they slew them not. And Joshua made them that day hewers of wood and drawers of water for the congregation and for the altar of the Lord, even unto this day, in the place which he should choose. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer and ask the Lord's help tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I know I need your help. Lord, I know when we talk about the devil, Lord, many times the devil doesn't like it. He wants to fight it. He wants to just mess with us and mess with our church, mess with our families. Lord, I pray that you help us tonight to see some of the wiles of the devil, to see some of the different ways the devil works and how. And this is a picture of how they deceived Joshua, how many times a Christian is deceived, and that victorious Christian life you desire for them, they've been deceived by the devil. Lord, I pray in our lives we would recognize who we're fighting against. Recognize it's not flesh and blood we're fighting against. Lord, it's the princes of the power of the air, and Lord, it's a spiritual battle and a spiritual realm. And Lord, that the devil doesn't fight fair. And Lord, help us not to be surprised by things, but instead help us to put on the whole armor of God. Lord, help us to be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Help us to be able to fight, Lord, with your spirit and your strength. Lord, speak to people's hearts tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. First thing I want you to see here, and I think it's something that's pretty obvious, is that our enemy is deceptive. Our enemy is deceptive. He uses deceptive wiles. You say, wiles? Yes. Wiles means that it's a cunning strategy. He does things that lures people. He does things that entices people. When the Gibeonites heard about Israel and they talked about how they knew what was going to happen to them because they saw what happened in Jericho and they saw what happened to Ai, they decided, okay, how can we convince, how can we trick, and how can we lie to make sure they're not going to kill us? And they became deceptive. This is a picture of our enemy. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 6:11 that we fight an enemy that uses wiles to get his way in our lives. This word wiles refers to the deceit, refers to trickery and to cunning arts. You think about it, just before Jesus died, he told Simon Peter that Satan had desire to have him, to sift him like wheat, and Satan wants to do the same thing to us. He wants to lay snares and traps in our lives. He doesn't play fair. He wants to do whatever he can to lay a trap for us so we will fall in his trap, we will believe his lie, and he is deceptive. He's not going to come to you in a way that is just, okay, yeah, that's the devil. I recognize it's the devil. I recognize it's the devil's work. I'm just going to go ahead and do it. Now, sometimes after we have fallen into sin and we stop caring about God and we become disruptive in our walk, like we're going to talk about in a second, yes, that might be the path. But oftentimes as believers and as Christians, we're going through Canaan land and we're living a victorious Christian life and we see what God is doing and we see how God is working, and the devil sees something ahead and he says, I know how I'm going to deceive this person. I know how I'm going to trip them up. Yes, you might have won the battle of Jericho. Yes, you might have dealt with your sin and defeated Ai, but the devil is not going to just give up when he sees that you won Jericho and that you won Ai. You know what he's going to do? He's going to do whatever he can to deceive you. Now, the word snare is an interesting word. It's something that Satan uses to catch his prey. 1 Timothy 3:7 says, moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. So the devil is going to use deceptive ways, just like Gibeon did. I want you to get this and understand this. Tonight, you say, well, Pastor, what does this have to do to Christmas? I think the devil deceives us into making Christmas sometimes what it really isn't. I mean, can you imagine how amazing it is what Christ came and was born, but then, you know, they're saying you can't say Merry Christmas anymore? That's because the world's been deceived into believing that stuff. There's lies. He's deceptive. He ties all this stuff back together. It's sort of like Thanksgiving being the day that you're supposed to be the most thankful, but it's the biggest day of the year to go out shopping and buy things that, you know, many times you really don't need. And like I said, he has just taken things and he has deceived and he has just caused many people to lose sight of what the truth really is. So first thing I want you to see is he uses deceptive wiles. I also think he uses deceptive ways. He uses cunning strategies, but look at the ways he uses this. He goes in there and they use wineskins, they use food, they use shoes, they use garments. You know what? These people have come up with a way that is just going to make it look like they're telling the truth. And I tell you, that's the way the devil works. He's not going to come to you like they picture you with horns and a pitchfork and a tail. You know, the devil doesn't look like that. The devil, he's deceitful. These guys aren't going to come up to them and say, oh, yeah, they're not going to wear their best clothes, not going to have the fresh food and say, oh, yeah, we're from miles and miles away. No, they're ways that are deceptive. And you say, Pastor, what's the big deal? We need to be on guard here. We need to be watching these things. We need to make sure that we're not falling for his ways and that we're not falling in his trap. The Bible says, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of life. He will make a plan and make him appear that he is something right and that he's something good. And we fall right into that trap and we see that it's dangerous. And what we need to understand is that the devil is deceptive to us. His wiles, his cunning ways, and the ways he does things, he doesn't play fair. He doesn't come to you and say, I want to ruin your life. He doesn't come to you and say, hey, look, you drink this alcohol. Yeah, the Bible talks about wine. Of course, it's not talking about alcoholic wine, but he deceives you into believing that. He doesn't show you down the road that you end up destroying your family. He doesn't show you down the road that you end up maybe drunk driving. He doesn't show you down the road that all the people who have lost their minds because of the harshness of alcohol and all the different people living in the gutter and dependent upon it and have ruined their lives and wrecked their families. He doesn't show you that. Instead, he shows you what the good time is that you can have. His ways, it's wicked, and we fall for those things. I tell you, many times we like to believe we're okay. We like to think that we know everything, but in all reality, his ways just aren't right. You know, it's important that we be careful what we do. Everything, we should measure it against the Word of God. We should be careful in what we listen to and what we talk about. And many times people will just do things and they think it's okay and they think they can handle it. The devil's just laying a snare out there. He says, look, that church is doing well. That person is doing well. Canaan land's going well. I'm going to lay out this trip here. I'm going to let people fall. I'm going to try to destroy them. So you see the deceptive wiles and the deceptive ways. But think about the deceptive words. Verse number 6, you see they come and they say it's a far country. Verse number 9, once again, they say it's a very far country. Verses 11 and 12, they turn around and they talk about their provisions and they show them these things and they convince them. They claim certain things. And you know what? If we're not careful what we listen to, if we're not careful, we're going to let the devil convince us of things that are okay. We're going to let the devil convince ourselves, hey, it's okay to do this and it's okay to do that. And I hear people say, I know what the Bible says, but... And that's one of the most dangerous sentences in all the world. I know the Bible says this, but if the Bible says it, then you know what? I don't need to do it. I don't need to have a part in it because the devil is deceptive in his words. He tells us lies. You think about the lies he told Eve. First thing he did in the garden, he gave him to question God. He says, yea, hath God said? Did God really mean this? That's a deceptive lie. Yes, if God said he meant it. He taught Eve that God did not really mean what he said. He taught Eve that God was keeping a blessing from her. He taught Eve that God was holding out on her, that if you ate of this fruit, you would become like a god. They're all lies. It's just the devil wants to destroy. He wants to ruin. He wants to devour. Guess like the Gibeonites wanted to trick them and wanted to save themselves. In the end, they listened to the false lies and the falsehoods. I tell you, I don't know what you're going through in your lives, but don't believe the lies of the devil. You think about what must, I don't know how, but I know the devil, which is the god of lies, I wonder what he had to say to Cain to get him to kill Abel. I wonder, you know, how much he must, what he must have went through. You think about it, what he must have said to David when he saw Bathsheba bathing. Or maybe what he went through to tell Judas that it was okay to betray Christ. You know, what is it, lies have we been believing to just accept the sin that is in our lives? The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 2:11, lest Satan should get an advantage of us. For we are not ignorant of his devices. And we say this over and over that, you know, be careful, you know, be vigilant, you know, be on guard against this adversary, the devil. But we still fall into the same lies and tell ourselves, it's okay that I do this. It's okay that I say this. It's okay that I experience this. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter 5:8 that what the devil is trying to do, he's trying to seek and he's trying to devour. But how does he do that? He doesn't walk around. He doesn't show himself as a roaring lion. What he does is he seeks for the person he can destroy. And that's what the devil wants to do in your life. And these people at Gibeon, they're trying to trick up the nation of Israel. They're trying to do whatever they can. And they're being liars in very deceitful ways. Second thing I want you to see, not only is that the enemy can be deceptive, the enemy can be disruptive. The enemy can be disruptive. What do you mean? Well, their ability to see clearly was disrupted. Because they believed and they bought into a lie of the devil, because they believed his wiles, they believed his ways, they believed his words, you know what happened? Their ability to see clearly just kind of got clouded. It kind of got like a little foggy. And sometimes that's what happens in our lives, is when we let people go through things and we believe what people are saying and we believe the lies, we start saying, well, I know I shouldn't be doing this, but it's got to be okay, because what else can they do? What else can they say? And it becomes disrupted. In verse number 7, you see Joshua is telling him, look, what if you dwell among us? And why is it this, you know, who knows? You know, who are you? He is questioning, he is asking, but it becomes a very dangerous time when we stop questioning and we stop asking and we look, the ability to look clear, we turn around and say, I don't know if that's really true. You ever heard that before? I've heard it before. I've heard people that have listened to the lies of the devil and start saying, now maybe there's nothing wrong with homosexuality. He say, oh no, a Christian would never say that. You listen to churches all over the places that are compromising, saying, oh, it's okay. Oh, it's okay for abortion. It's okay for these other things. It's okay to alcohol. It's okay for all these other long lists of things. This is not a big deal. What happened? They believed the lie of the devil. They've been deceived, and as they've been deceived, that their ability to see clearly has become the disruptive. If the Lord has done anything for us, He's given us His Word. He's given us the Holy Spirit. He's given us the avenues of prayer and how He speaks to our hearts. And He tells us to be sober. He tells us to be vigilant. He tells us to be on guard. And when our spiritual vision gets dim, you know what we do? We start neglecting the Word of God and start believing what other people are saying. When we start, things start getting dim, we start believing things like gossip is okay. We start believing a little white lie is okay. We start believing that not forgiving is okay. We start believing other things. And where does it begin? It begins with the lies of the devil, and then we begin to, the ability to see clearly just becomes disruptive. And then the ability to seek counsel becomes disruptive too. We start doing things according to our own path and our own ways instead of listening to what God would have to say. Look what it said in verse number 14. It's probably one of the key verses here. It says, and the men took of their victuals and asked not the counsel at the mouth of the Lord. They didn't ask God. They believed everything else, but they did everything else. They examined them and their own reasoning. They said, this is all okay because this is what I think. But what happened was they didn't ask God. Christian, don't buy into the lies of the devil. He is deceptive. He is his wiles, his ways, his words. He's laying a trap for you. And it's going to discourage you. But then more importantly, it's going to disrupt your ability to see things through the Bible. It's going to disrupt your ability to say, you know what? I need to get to God. I know sometimes God humbles me. It happens often. He allows things to come into my life that are overwhelming, that I know I can't help, I can't do, and I know that there's no hope in the situation without God's help. But see, the case is that should be the case for all the areas of my life. But it brings me to my knees, and it brings tears to my eyes, and it says, you know what? God, I need you. When I think I know how to handle something, I don't pray that way. When I believe the lie of the devil that I don't need God's help and, you know, I'm okay, I can handle this, the ability to see clearly gets a little bit distressed, disrupted. And then I turn around and think, well, you know what? I can handle this. It's right in front of me. Why do I need to ask God? The proof is right there. You know, it's sitting right there. Look, the bread is moldy. The shoes are ruined. Of course, I always thought, you know, bread molds a lot quicker than shoes get ruined. I don't know the two, you know. You think about it, you know, you leave your bread out for a month, you know, sooner or later it's going to get moldy, but a pair of shoes is going to last a little bit longer. But that's something, I guess, completely different in the thought here. But, you know, it's sitting there. It's obvious. They said it. It must be true. I think Wesley says, and I've heard other people say, it's on the internet. It must be true. Yeah. It's not true. Just because somebody says something does not make it true. We need to be careful what we pass around to other people without checking on things. We need to be careful that we don't believe and let the devil set up a trap that's going to cause you to trip and it's going to cause you to fall, because he wants to get in the middle of your life and destroy you. He wants to disrupt you. He doesn't want you to be able to see things clearly. He wants you to pick and choose what you think is right and what you think is wrong. He wants you to, instead of asking God what you should do, he wants you to, you know what, seek your own counsel. Let me go talk to my, and what does Joshua do here? He talks to his princes. He talks to his leaders. Now, is there anything wrong? No, there's safety in the multitude of counselors, and that is fine. But somebody saying something as a prayer request is one thing, but somebody that just wants to pass along gossip is something completely different. And here in this story, what happens with this council, it's disruptive. He doesn't go to God. He goes to his princes instead. And this is important that we learn to go to God. You know, the Bible tells us in Exodus, when there was a problem, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Isaiah says, but they that wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings of eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And that's what we need to learn, is to pray and wait on God and let God reveal the truth that comes out. And that's exactly what happens here. They didn't go to God. They didn't ask God. It's a very dangerous thing if you start trying to figure things out on your own. Because once your ability to see things clearly gets disruptive, and once you stop getting counsel from God becomes disruptive, staying clean, it's going to be disruptive too. It's going to, and the Bible says, and the Lord thy God shall deliver them from before thee. Thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy to them. He says, you cannot do this with these people. Why? Because once you start allowing these little things, you fall into that trap, and you start looking at things through the Bible. You stop asking God things. You know what's going to happen? You're going to get used to being around them. What happened to the nation of Israel? They didn't clear out Canaan land. They didn't clear out the promised land. What happened? You know, they struggled with idols. Why did they even know about the idols? It's because they let the people there. The Bible tells us, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean, and I will receive you. Too often, we let the flesh and the world stay close to us. We allow it to be close to us, and we've let the devil put that trap there in our lives, and we trip up and we say, you know what? I believe something the devil has told me. I don't see clearly anymore. I don't seek God's counsel anymore. I don't wait on God anymore. Because of that, I can't keep my life clean. I'm messing around too much with the world. Third thing here is our enemy can be deceptive. Our enemy can be disruptive. And the third thing is our enemy can be defeated. The great thing is, you know, God can make something good out of it. The enemy must be confronted. In verse 22, Joshua confronts him about beguiling them. Joshua confronts him about lying to them. Joshua says, he says to him, wherefore have you beguiled us, saying, we are very far from you when you dwell among us. The enemy must be confronted. The Bible tells you, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil and he will flee from you. And a lot of people like to say, resist the devil and he will flee from you. You know, that's the only part of the verse. That's not the important part of the verse. It starts off with submitting to God. Once you submit to God, then you resist the devil and he'll flee from you. But in your own power and your own strength, like we learned here in this chapter, our own wisdom, we're going to fail. You go back to Ai, and our own wisdom and our own pride, we're going to fail. But when we submit ourselves to God and we seek God and we're vigilant and we're sober against the adversary and against the ways of the devil, then we are going to be able to resist him. You know, the Lord showed us the perfect example of how, if him quoting the scriptures when he was tempted, the devil left him. I want to encourage you tonight. You can have victory through Jesus Christ. The victory can be won. The battle can be won. The enemy must be controlled. You must be able to control your flesh with God's help. You must be able to control the things that you've gone through. God has given you promises. He's given you victories. He's taught you in 1 John 1:9 that he will forgive you of your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. You can have victory here, but you must deal with the enemy here. And that's what Joshua does. He said, well, Pastor, in the end, you know what? They get some water bearers and they get some people to carry the wood around. Isn't that a good thing? Not when God told them not to make a pact with them. Why? God knows what's best. And when they started seeing the Gibeonites around, and okay, if we're going to let the Gibeons do this, why don't we let the next people do this, and the next people do this, and the next people do this. And then when they start falling in love, and they start intermarrying, and they start having more issues and more problems, you know what? God knows what's best. Stop trying to do things on your own, and don't believe the lies of the devil, and just trust him in his word, and believe what he has to say. The devil wants to lie. The devil wants to trip you. The devil wants you to fail. The devil wants you to make a fool of yourself. The devil wants you to mock God and mock the things of God. You know, he wants to do these things to you. God loves you. God desires for you to have victory. God has said you can have this possession, this victorious Christian life. He says if you pray, he'll answer your prayer. He talks about so many, that you're not a servant of sin. He talks about how you can have fruit and fruit that remains. He gives you so many wonderful promises. He promises to meet your needs. He promises, what does the devil promise you? Look what he did to Judas. In the end, he's hanging on a tree. Look what he did to Saul, the King Saul. You know, in the end, he's on a sword. Those are the ends of the devil. The ways of a man, they are ways of death. I would encourage you tonight. In this story, when I read this story, it shouts to me, man, we have an enemy that is very deceptive. And he's good at what he does. He doesn't come to you with the pitchfork and the horns and tail. He doesn't come with you saying, oh, look, this is what's going to hurt your life. This is what's going to hurt your family. This is what's going to hurt your church. He comes to you dressed as an angel of light saying, this is right. This is what you should be doing. This is how you should handle things. It's a lie. Don't buy into the lies of the devil, because it will disrupt your ability to see clearly. It will disrupt your ability to seek wise counsel from the Lord. And it's going to disrupt your ability to stay clean. And when you're not clean, you know what? Like we learned about a few weeks ago, God's going to have to judge. Be very careful. You've got an enemy that is very good at what he does. But you do have an enemy that can be defeated. We can have the victory through Jesus Christ. Let's ask God to give us the victory. You say, well, Pastor, what does this have at all to do with Christmas? Well, I know you might think, oh, that doesn't make a difference. You can stop back and sit and think. Go and look at the ornaments up that celebrate other things besides Christmas. And see, well, where does all this happen? Where did all the commercialism and all the other things? And like I've told you before, I've said it more than once, I'm not a Scrooge. I enjoy Christmas. I enjoy things that point people to Christ. And, you know, there's different things you can see in the giving of gifts. There's different things you can see in decorations. If it's going to give people a chance to celebrate Christ and celebrate the things of God, then praise the Lord. But there are a lot of people that are anti, and I really drives me crazy when I hear somebody say Happy Holidays. And I was like, I tell them Merry Christmas to them. And, you know, and so, and, but, you know, where they believe the lies of the devil, and they've tripped up a lot of people. And there's a lot of deceitful things that go on. Even on the days that we're supposed to celebrate, the days we're supposed to be celebrating God's, what God and what he's done for us. Let's not make it. Let's not believe the lie of the devil. let's not think it's all about gifts, and let's not think it's all about family, and it's all about fellowships, and it's all about, you know, those things are fun and good. But that's not, don't believe the lie of the devil. Is there something in your life that you have believed? And maybe it's clouded your vision. Maybe it's clouded your counsel. Have we really approached God to see what he wants you to do? You say, well, yes, I have. Well, have you prayed with a clean heart? Because that's where it starts. Make sure you're right. Then go before God. And then wait for his answer. Don't just, you know, the Bible says, wait on the Lord. God's saying, I want you to wait. You don't need to go. He just wait on the Lord. He'll provide the answer in his time and in his way. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet.